Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And I want to say good morning to everyone and welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We're located just off of Highway 105, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have Sunday school for all ages, 10 a.m., Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m., prayer meeting, Bible study every Wednesday night at 7. We'd love for you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. If you do not have a regular church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. And it is a blessing to be back once again this morning. And I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here in the studio today. How are you, Noah?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 in Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and I'm looking forward to the broadcast today. I want to talk about something today, address a subject that I've actually been asked several times about. And what I want to address today and talk about is the teachings of Mormonism. I don't know how many people that I've had ask me about that. You know, we have a lot of listeners in the area, in different areas, and I've had a lot of people ask me. And, you know, the reason that people are all of a sudden interested in that is the prospect of having a president who is a Mormon. Now, you may know it, you may not know it, but there are several congressmen and senators and people already in high places, you might say, throughout this country who are Mormons, but nobody with the notoriety or the popularity, the household name of Mitt Romney. You know, the prospect of him becoming president, people want to know some more things about Mormonism. It has been talked about a great deal, but I've had a lot of people ask me, are Mormons Christians? Do they believe like us? Isn't Mormonism a cult? And so I'd like to deal with that subject today. I don't know if I'll get all the way through some of the things that I'd like to, but I want to try my best. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, the teachings of Mormonism. Some of our listeners may not know this, but I lived in Burley, Idaho. I pastored a church, the Faith Baptist Church in Burley, Idaho. My family and I, Noah, live there as well, of course. And from the year 2000 to the year 2004. And Burley, Idaho is in southern Idaho. You may not know this. A lot of people think Mormon Salt Lake City. But, of course, that's been many, many years ago since the Mormons migrated to Utah. And now, today, the majority of the Mormon population is not really in Salt Lake City, Utah, but they traveled north into northern Utah, southern Utah, but mainly northern Utah and southern Idaho. You have large, large populations in these small towns a lot of people have never even heard of, but you still have whole communities that are 98% Mormon population. The town we lived in, just depending on who you talk to, they would say, well, Burley is 65-80% Mormon. I tend to believe at that time they were probably around 80%. The large Mormon population in that little town that I pastored in from 2000 to 2004. All of our neighbors at that time were Mormons. I mean, surrounded on every side by people who were Mormons. We lived 1 mile from the Mormon ward. Now, they don't call it the Mormon church. They call it a ward. It's a little bit different, but we, Watauga County is basically the majority Baptist people and Protestant people for sure, and then there's a lot of non-denominational. But when I say we go to church, well, they don't say we go to church. They go to the Mormon ward, and that's what it's called. But we lived 1 mile from the ward, where all of our neighbors went to church. Our children played with Mormon children. We shopped. We did business. We knocked on doors. We witnessed to Mormon people. I actually had the opportunity to preach a baccalaureate service in a Mormon ward in Malta, Idaho. I'm not going to tell how that came about, but I thank the Lord for the opportunity that I had to do that. And so I got to preach in a Mormon ward. The reason they had the baccalaureate service in the ward and not in the high school is because the Mormon ward could hold the numbers, and they didn't have anywhere in the high school that many people could fit into. So I had the opportunity to preach the gospel in a Mormon ward, or what you might call a Mormon church, and I did that. It was a secular setting, you know, for the high school. The bishop certainly didn't invite me to come and preach, but I had that opportunity, and not many Baptist preachers have had that opportunity. So for the record, I want to say I really do love the Mormon people. We had good experiences where we lived. They are just like any other group of people. They are not perfect. They have their flaws, just like Baptist people, Methodist people, you know, anybody, any group. There's no such thing as a perfect group of people. But for the most part, Mormon people are very kind, very courteous, very conservative in their values, very friendly, very hardworking. These are things we would have in common with the Mormon people. They are very family-oriented. They are very patriotic people. I'm not going to talk about that today, but I might next week if I go on in this subject. But they are very, very patriotic-minded people. Believe in the United States of America. I might talk about that more later. But I'm not going to say anything today that I would not say in front of a Mormon friend, someone who I know personally. I living among the Mormons, I know a lot of Mormon people. I thought about, you know, what would I say about the Mormons if one of my friends that I had when I lived out there was sitting right here with me in the studio. So it's not my intent to bash the Mormons or say something that is not true concerning their religion. One thing I learned when I went out there is what you read in books and you witness to a Mormon, or you talk to a Mormon and you say, well, you believe this. A lot of them are just like Baptist people. They don't know what they believe. And they'll say, well, I don't believe that. And so I want to try to be truthful and fair and honest and all of those things today in dealing with this subject. I don't know, a Mormon person could very well listen to the radio broadcast. I have been to the temple in Salt Lake City, Utah several times. I've spent a lot of time, especially in years gone by, studying Mormonism, or some of them don't like to be called Mormons. They say I'm, you know, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's now the official name of the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so they call themselves LDS. If you hear somebody say, I'm LDS, that's what they are referring to. I cut out a copy of an article that I had read in the Winston-Salem Journal from Sunday, March 11th, 2012. And it was an opinion article written by Mr. John Raley. And he said in that article, the title of the article was, Who Gets to Define Christian? And he was talking about Mitt Romney, that a lot of Christians would say that Mitt Romney was not a Christian. And he talked about that. Well, he's a columnist, and he doesn't even know who gets to define a Christian or what a Christian is, who a Christian is. And, I'll tell you, really, who gets to define who a Christian is or what a Christian is, and we would have to go to the Bible. The Bible would be the final authority of what a Christian or who a Christian is. You know, anybody can call themselves a Christian. Barack Obama says that he's a Christian, but just calling yourself a Christian will not make you a Christian. The litmus test that we measure and judge that by has to be the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Doesn't matter if I say I'm a Christian. Does the Bible say that I'm a Christian? Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And so you're going to find, according to the Bible, there are many in the world that say they are Christians, but their life, their doctrine, their beliefs do not line up with the Word of God. Therefore, they would not be, according to the Bible, a Christian. We're going to accept what everybody says, or we're going to judge it by the Word of God, the Bible. And I believe we ought to judge it by the Bible. I want to give you just a short history. You cannot understand Mormonism without understanding some things about their history. Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, now they originally called themselves the Church of Christ. That's a historical fact. Joseph Smith named the Church of Christ. It's been changed a few different ways, but today it is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or many of them refer to themselves as Mormons. Mormons had their beginning in 1820. Joseph Smith is their prophet, and I want to read just a little bit. I have a book. It's called Gospel Principles. I bought it at the Deseret Bookstore in Idaho. This is an official publication of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's what it says on the back of the book. And the name of the book is Gospel Principles, and it's a teaching book that Mormons would use. The edition that I have is an early edition. I think it's 1981 is when it was revised. But in the back, there's songs. They have some songs that you would be familiar with that you would sing in church on Sunday morning. And then they have some songs that are particularly Mormon songs. And there's a song in there called Praise to the Man. Now, this is a song that Mormons would sing about Joseph Smith. This song is about Joseph Smith. And it's interesting, the song, it says, I'm going to read the stanza and then the chorus. It said, "Praise to the man who communed with Jehovah. Jesus anointed that prophet and seer. Blessed to open the last dispensation, kings shall extol him and nations revere." Second line, "Praise to his memory, he died as a martyr. Honored and blessed be his ever great name. Long shall his blood, which was shed by assassins, plead unto heaven while the earth lauds his fame." The third stanza, "Great to his glory and endless his priesthood. Ever and ever the keys he will hold. Faithful and true he will enter his kingdom, crowned in the midst of the prophets of old." And then the chorus says, "Hail to the prophet ascended to heaven. Traitors and tyrants now fight him in vain. Mingling with gods," capital G, "mingling with gods, he can plan for his brethren." That's the Mormons. "Death cannot conquer the hero again." And so that is a song about Joseph Smith. If you don't think they think highly of Joseph Smith, just study a little bit from their hymnology. And not just their hymns, but what they say about him as well. I wanted to read a little paragraph out of this book, what they say about Joseph Smith. And I'm going to read, let's see if I can find my place. There's a chapter 17, and there's a section called New Revelation from God. They believe that Joseph Smith had a new revelation from God. And it said, "In the spring of 1820, one of the most important events in the history of mankind occurred. The time had come for the marvelous work and wonder of which the Lord had spoken to come to pass. As a young boy, Joseph Smith wanted to know which of all the churches was the true church of Christ. He went into the woods near his home and prayed humbly and intently to his heavenly Father, asking which church he should join. On that morning, a miraculous thing happened. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ appeared to Joseph Smith. The Savior told him that he would not join any church because the true church was not on the earth. He also said that the teachings of present churches were an abomination in his sight. And they give a reference there. Beginning with this event, there was once more direct revelation from the heavens. The Lord had chosen a new prophet. Since that time, the heavens have not been closed. Revelation continues to this day through each of his chosen prophets. Joseph was to be the one to help restore the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So Mormonism can be traced to the teachings of Joseph Smith in the year 1820. Mormonism started in 1820. The Church of Christ, started by Alexander Campbell, began in 1827. Seventh-day Adventist began in 1830. They were originally known as the Millerites. Christian Science had its beginning in 1866 with Mary Baker Eddy. The Theosophical Society had its beginnings in 1875 by Madame Helena Petrova Blavatsky. The Jehovah's Witnesses began in 1844, started by Charles Taze Russell. And the modern-day Pentecostal movement began in the early 1900s in California, the state of California. Now, I said all that because all these churches have one thing in common, and that is that they are all latecomers. They must all deal with the problem of starting their church some 1,800 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a problem when you start a church 1,800 years after the time of Christ and his disciples. You have to deal with that. And the only way to deal with that is to say that the true church completely failed and apostatized, and that their church is a restoration of the original church. They have to come along and say that God started over with them. Now, that is in direct opposition to what the Bible says. The Bible says, for example, in Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus was speaking to Peter there, and he said, upon this rock, he said, thou art Peter. That word Peter is Petrus. That means a little rock. And Jesus said, you're a little rock. But he said, upon this rock, and he was referring to himself, that's a large rock. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I'm going to start my church, and it'll never go out of existence. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, the Bible teaches that there will be apostasy, but the Bible does not teach that there will be total apostasy. And so not only does that contradict the Bible, but it also contradicts church history. Now, the Mormons claim that the true church had to go out of existence, and that's why that's the only way they can justify their existence and the difference between the other churches. Let me give you some examples from early Mormon leaders. For example, historian B.H. Roberts said this: saddening as the thought may seem, the church founded by the labors of Jesus and his apostles was destroyed from the earth. The gospel was perverted, its ordinances were changed, its laws were transgressed, its covenant was, on the part of man, broken, and the world was left to flounder in the darkness of a long period of apostasy from God, a universal apostasy from the Christian doctrine and the Christian church took place. That is the only way they can justify their existence as a church, is to say the church apostatized. It went out of business. It died, and God had to start over with Joseph Smith. That's what they believe. The apostle, Mormon apostle, James Talmadge said this. He said, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints proclaims the restoration of the gospel and the re-establishment of the church as of old. In this, the dispensation of the fullness of times. Such restoration of re-establishment with the modern bestowal of the holy priesthood would be unnecessary and indeed impossible had the Church of Christ continued among men with unbroken succession." So they believe that the true church went out of business and God started over with them. And so people ask the question. I've had people ask me, are Mormons Christians? I think the better question to ask would be to ask a Mormon if they think that you are a Christian. You know, if I would ask a Mormon, do you think I am a Christian? Now, if they were faithful to what Joseph Smith and the early teachers, apostles, they call them apostles, prophets of Mormonism, they would have to say, no, you're not. For example, this is something Joseph Smith said about that very subject. I want to read to you this morning. I've got several books. How many books have I got over here laying around, Noah? And so,
looks about four or five
books I've got laying around. Here's what Joseph Smith said. Joseph Smith said, "Will everyone be damned but Mormons? Yes, and a great portion of them, unless they repent and work righteousness." Will everybody be damned but Mormons? He said, yes, they will. Now, Joseph Smith was not the only one to believe that way. I've got another book over here I'm going to read a couple of quotes out of. This is from President Brigham Young in 1853. You're familiar with BYU. It's a large college in Utah. It's named after their second prophet, Brigham Young. And he was a teacher, and he's the one that actually led them out to Utah, because Joseph Smith was killed in Missouri in a riot. And the riot was over. He had many wives, and he had been thrown in prison for stealing and taking other men's wives. And there was a riot. Joseph Smith had a gun. They rushed the prison. And that's that song I read a few minutes ago when it said he was killed by assassins. That's what that's referring to. But anyway, that's just something else about the history of Mormons. But here's what Brigham Young said. If you ask him if he thought you were a Christian, listen. He said, "Truly happy is that man or woman or that people who enjoys the privileges of the gospel of the Son of God and who know how to appreciate his blessings. Who is that person or that people?" We are ready to reply. The Latter-day Saints are the only people on earth that we have any knowledge of to whom the everlasting gospel has been given in these days. They are the only people who are the heirs to it, with all its blessings and privileges. Not to our knowledge is there any other people on the face of this globe that enjoy this inestimable blessing. Another, President Spencer W. Kimball, said in 1982, "This is the only true church. This is not a church. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. There are churches of men all over the land, and they have great cathedrals, synagogues, and other houses of worship." President Ezra Taft Benson in 1988. This is the Mormon president. He speaks with the authority of the church and teaches them how to believe and how to think. He said, "This is not just another church. This is not just one of a family of Christian churches. This is the church and kingdom of God, the only true church upon the face of the earth. According to the Lord's own words," D&C 130, that's another book they go by, Doctrines and Covenants. He said, his church. It bears his name, and it is directed under the authority of his priesthood. It is a message that will save and exalt the souls of the children of men. There is no other way, because this is the only true message and the only true church upon the face of the whole earth. And I could give several other examples, but I'm going to move on for the sake of time. Ask a Mormon if they think you are a Christian. I have two books with me that I got out of the Mormon bookstore in Idaho. I've already quoted from one, Gospel Principles. The other one is the Search. It's called Search These Commandments, the Melchizedek Priesthood Personal Study Guide. I've looked through both of these books and used them extensively to teach about Mormonism down through the years. They are, like I said, official publications of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you look in the glossary, you read the book, the word Christian is not in the back of the book. It's not in the book. I have a Mormon tract with me, something that I picked up when I was at the, I think I got it in the temple in Salt Lake City. It says, The Plan of Our Heavenly Father. It's a study guide, a Mormon study guide. No mention of becoming a Christian. Being a Christian is not a big part of their terminology. The Bible says in Acts 11 and 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The disciples were called Christians. Christians are followers of Christ, Jesus Christ. Christians believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Christians, according to the Bible, believe that Jesus Christ is God, that God was manifest in the flesh, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, Mormons believe in Jesus. They talk flowery words about Jesus. But their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. Their Jesus is the offspring of what they believe, a heavenly father and a heavenly mother. And Jesus was the firstborn, and we also, they refer to Jesus as their elder brother. They do not believe that Jesus was begotten of the Holy Ghost, like the Bible says. I'm going to run out of time before I get through all of this, but it's very interesting, some of the things that they believe. Brigham Young actually taught that Adam is the one who fathered the Lord Jesus Christ. Brigham Young said, Now remember from this time forth and forever that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. That's a direct contradiction of the Bible. Matthew 1 and 18 said, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now the only way to counteract the contradictions of the teaching of the Bible in Mormonism is to use another tact, I guess would be a way to put it, and they teach that the Bible is corrupted, unreliable, lost. There's the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, Doctrines and Covenants. There's a lot of things that Mormons, they're hard to pin down. You know, they say about Romney that he's a flip-flopper. Well, he's cut out of that cloth. Mormons have had to change a lot of things down through the years in order to survive. Time is gone. I'll pick up next week, Lord willing. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANON bc.org.